I think we could go home now. How about it? Woo! Yeah, I would. I sure would. That was a powerful, powerful message and a powerful verse that I will remember. So, a few weeks ago, Mr. Jake from State Farm came. So, Mrs. Jake Farm came today, okay? So, I'm thankful that I have a year's notice for this because I need it. I do this once a year and I need a year to, but God will help me, okay? So, you know, I've often told Eric that women are like antiques and fine wine. They get better with age, all right? So today, I'm guessing, does anybody have china at your house that you rarely ever use? China? Okay, you bring the china out. So today I'm the china, but next week you're going to have paper plates again, okay? I told him, I said, I have to get you somehow because he does his share. And he has the other 51 weeks of the year, so I had to get him, okay? No, really, I'm honored today to be here because there's nothing in my life other than Jesus Christ that means more to me than being a mother, all right? Greatest joy of my life. So, you know, we have to teach our kids so many lessons, to teach them everything. One of my sons is going through that now, and he's like, Mom, you got to teach them everything. Starts with, you know, you teach them how to eat, how to use a spoon, how to put their shoes on. Heard a story recently of a little girl. Her mama said, you've got your shoes on the wrong feet. And she burst into tears crying. And she said, these are the only feet I have. Okay? We have to teach them everything. We have to teach them how to brush their teeth, how to read and how to write and how to drive a car. And then, by then, they know more than you, so you don't have to teach them anything after that, all right? No, we have to teach them not what to think, but how to think. And so, today I want to focus on one topic. You know, we say this a lot, more things are caught than taught. You know, children are kind of like, they're kind of like wet cement. You ever put your handprint in the wet cement and then it's there? Okay? Children are very impressionable and they watch and they listen. And so there's one thing that when the Lord dropped this in my heart, I kind of argued with him because I'm like, it's Mother's Day. That's not for Mother's Day. But I never could get away from it. So we're going to talk today about contentment. Contentment. Be a mother, be a person of contentment, and pass that on to your children, okay? One of the first memories I have of this, of trying to teach my children that is, one of my children was in kindergarten, and it was their Christmas class party, and they all had brought gifts and wrapped them, and each student took a number, and your number went with the gift that you got. And I happened to be there for the party and videoed it and watched it later and thought, oh, we have some teaching to do. His facial expression when he opened the box, now he's a little five-year-old boy, and it was a puzzle. And he's all excited to open the gift. He unwrapped it and he went, disappointed. And so I realized then that we have to teach contentment to our children, okay? They don't come pre-wired that way. They come selfish and they come wanting more and more and more and nothing's ever good enough. And so today we're going to talk about contentment. First, I want to just say happy Mother's Day to all of you. And I understand I'm very, very sensitive to this day, that this day is not always happy. Some people have lost their mother. Some did not have a good mother influence growing up. Some want more than anything else in this life to be a mother, and that hasn't happened yet. So I'm very aware of that. Walked through an infertility battle with one of my sons. I have two lovely adopted grandchildren, granddaughters that I wouldn't take $1 million for. But I'm sensitive and I understand that journey. So just know that every woman in here, you are a daughter, all right? You're a daughter naturally, and you're, if you know Jesus, you're a daughter of the Most High God. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. And some of you have spiritual children in here, and that's another blessing from the Lord. So let's pray. Father God, I love that name for you, Father. You are a father. And Lord, I just come to you now. I thank you for this opportunity to talk and just to teach and bring out scriptures from your word which is powerful, your word which is alive, your word which guides our every step. So Lord, I just pray that today my words would be filled with life, they would be filled with encouragement, and they would be filled with anointing from you. I am anointed to do this, Lord. I am anointed to do this. And I thank you that I can speak your word. So, Lord, open up our hearts and our minds today to learn from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I titled this, Finding Joy in the Journey. Finding Joy in the Journey. Life is a journey. And, you know, motherhood, it's a constant battle between, I know y'all can relate to this, a constant battle between trying to decide whether I go to bed early to catch up on some sleep, or I stay awake to have some alone time. Anybody know that struggle? Yeah. I really could use the sleep, but I really could use some quiet alone time. Okay. Constant battle. So, when I was deciding on to talk about this, a strange thing too, the story that I chose to bring to you is from the book of Ruth. I've always thought of Ruth as being a story of loyalty and commitment, and it is. But let's think about it from the perspective of contentment today. I've always loved the story, maybe because my mother-in-law was a wonderful lady. And when I think about the story with Ruth and her mother-in-law. So let me just, chapter one, let me just kind of quickly tell you how the story went. There was a famine in the land. So Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons, they went to live in the country of Moab. They were from Bethlehem, Judah. So they were getting out, going to where they could get food. Elimelech died and left Naomi and her two sons alone. So the men, the sons, married Moabite women. They married, one married Ruth, one married Orpah. And so 10 years went by and the two sons passed away. So Naomi is really alone. Okay, so she lived there, but she overheard that the famine was gone. Famine was over. So she and her two daughter-in-laws decided to go back to Bethlehem. And after they started on the trip, Naomi urged them, go back to your homeland. I'm old. I really have nothing to offer you. You need to go back. Go back to where your home is. And so they cried, they wept, she prayed God's blessings on them, kissed them goodbye, and Naomi urged them. She goes, I don't have any more sons. So one of them, Orpah, decided, okay, I'm going back. But Ruth said some powerful words, and I've always believed that out of your heart, your mouth speaks, okay? Out of your heart. And so I believe this shows Ruth's heart. When she said these words from Ruth 1:16-17. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. So they continued on together to Bethlehem. Chapter 2 continues on with how God blessed Ruth and brought her a kinsman redeemer in Boaz. But I say all of that to say, I I see a heart of contentment in Ruth, where she was content. When I read the definition of contentment, you'll see what I mean. Contentment, the definition is a state of inner peace and satisfaction with your current life situation and possessions, regardless of external circumstances. Regardless, satisfaction with your current life situation. Contentment allows you to focus on the present moment, instead of always looking for something else or looking back. Contentment allows us to live in the moment. And I feel that Ruth realized she was content with her current situation and realized that it was okay for her to stay, to go and be with Naomi and not to stay in her homeland. Aren't we supposed to live one day at a time anyway? Isn't that what he told us to do? So, you know, I believe that extramarital affairs, pornography, alcoholism, all of those happen because we're not content. Discontent with your relationship, discontent with your circumstances, and you turn to other things. So contentment is something to be sought after. So when I talk about contentment, number one, there's a strong tie between gratitude and contentment. I really wanted to sing that song today about gratitude, about I don't really have much to offer you, Lord, but a heart of thanksgiving. So if we can find gratitude and thankfulness, contentment will follow. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Number two, contentment does not mean complacency, boredom, or lack of adventure. You can be content and not be a doormat, not be something that people walk over, not have no adventure in your life. Being content does not mean that. So in Philippians 3:14, Paul says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And the main thing, one of the important things I want to talk about that I feel so strongly is that contentment is a choice. Just like a lot of things in our life, it's a choice. And you have to develop that. It involves training your heart to find comfort in God's peace rather than things of the world. It's not in a job promotion. It's not in a better car. It's not in a bigger house. I want to read this quote that's attributed to Abraham Lincoln. "Most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be." Right? So it's in your court. You can be about as happy as you make up your mind to be. All right? You know, Paul called it a secret. Paul called it a secret. Okay? So I can choose. Contentment says I can choose to be happy right here, right now, while I'm still pressing forward. Philippians 4:11-12. "I'm not saying this because I am in need, or I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." There was a little 92-year-old lady that was legally blind, and she was moving to a nursing home. Her husband of 70 years had passed away, and so she was moving to a nursing home, and the facilitator at the nursing home was describing her room to her. "The walls are painted a beautiful blue. You have a window that overlooks the grassy area. we've got a, you got a wonderful little bed and the dresser. Oh, it's so pretty. It's of oak wood and it's just gorgeous. And the little lady says, I love it. I love my room. And the facilitator said, you haven't seen it yet. And you're legally blind. How can you say you love it? And she said, I decided to. She said, it's not in the external. It's in how I view it and how I decide. I decided that I was going to like that room. And so I love that room. All right. Contentment is a choice. We can choose to be content or we can choose to always be looking at what we don't have and what others have that I wish I had. And so contentment is a choice. What kind of things might hinder contentment? One of the things is fear or worry. Fear or worry keeps you focused on what if or distraction from the present. Fear and worry. And the Lord told us in Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? You know, I'm sitting here talking like I know all of this and like, you know, I'm going to tell you, I've not always had a heart of contentment. And Eric over there could tell you that. We were laughing this morning about a family memory we have. My oldest son was probably 15, the youngest one 5, and there was one in the middle, 13. And we had gone to Atlanta, Georgia, to watch a ball game. And a friend told us that you've got to go to the Varsity restaurant there. Anybody ever been to the Varsity in Atlanta? So, yeah. So she said, you've got to go there, but you have to go inside and watch what they do inside. So we were all pumped about going to this Varsity restaurant. And it was not easy to get there, to get in and maneuver. And I was, over here. I mean, letting him have it, you know. And we couldn't get in. We ended up having to get our food in the drive-thru and leave with it because we couldn't get inside the restaurant. And I'm like, and that didn't go well with him. And he started, and I came across a picture in the photo album of my 3 sons that had, they put their little, they gave me a paper hat that was called, had the Varsity on it. This photo is hilarious because they all 3 have their hat on and they're sitting and their expression on their face is. And I don't even know who took the picture. I don't think I did. I think he did. But we laughed about it afterwards. It totally changed the whole mood. But I got to thinking about that this morning because I'm like, you know, contentment, it's not always easy to be content. It's not, but it's something we should strive for. Not saying we're perfect, but we should strive to have a heart of contentment because your children need to learn that lesson from you to be content with what you have, not always be wanting more and better and different, but be content. Another thing that hinders contentment is unrealized expectations. Unrealized expectations. Mahatma Gandhi, great quote, man's happiness really lies in contentment. And I want to say, if you're not asking God to help you be content where you are today, you won't be content when you get what you think you need and want. If you're not asking God where you are today, Lord, help me be content where I am today, it won't matter what you get. You won't be content because it's a matter of your heart, okay? We don't need to have unrealized expectations where we're always blaming somebody else. It's always, it's their fault. It's their fault. If I only had, if only, okay? If only this hadn't happened, if only. But it all comes from placing our thoughts on the Lord. Psalms 43:5, David, when he was at a low point in his life, said, Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Amen. Free your heart from bitterness. Free your mind from worry. Give more, expect less. All right, let me say that again. Give more, expect less. Okay? A huge hindrance to contentment is entitlement. Entitlement. It kills contentment. Because contentment says, I have more than I deserve. Entitlement says, I deserve more than I have. Okay? You cannot have an entitled heart while also having a contented heart. The two really do not coexist. Entitlement will kill contentment. We begin to realize where everything comes from anyway. Love this verse in James. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift, everything we have, even our breath and life, comes from him. Have a contented heart. You know, the root of discontentment is pride. When you think about it, the root is pride. It says, I deserve better than what God has given me. Isn't that the original sin anyway? When the enemy said, has God really said that? All right. You know, I was talking about my mother-in-law earlier. I briefly mentioned her, but she was such a contented woman. I remember 6 weeks before she passed away, she had moved into a new house, and we were helping her with some landscaping. And we were going to plant some shrubs for her. And so Eric was with her at the store, and we found this really cute little yard ornament that was a windmill. And he commented on it, how he liked it. He liked that windmill. And she said, you want it? I'll buy it for you. And he said, no, I don't want it. Let's buy it for you. Oh, no. She was willing to buy it for him, but she didn't want it for herself. Such a content lady. Such a content woman. I was going to read. I asked my siblings. I have four siblings. I heard from three of them. I asked them to jot down a couple of things they remembered most about my mom. She went to be with Jesus 18 years ago. And, you know, she used to tell me the only thing she ever really, really wanted in life was to be a wife and a mother. And I used to think, boy, that's pretty, setting the bar pretty low. I mean, really, Mom? That's all you ever wanted? But the older I get, the more I realize that's really a wonderful, not that careers and other things are not important, but wow, that's really a blessing to have a mom that is that devoted, and that I'm very blessed with the mom that I had. So I wanted to read a few comments from my siblings. I'll start first with my sister. These are her words. I remember fondly and strive to emulate. And they didn't know anything I was talking about. I just said, hey, what's some of your memories of Mom? I thought this was interesting. I remember fondly, she said, and strive to emulate her contentment and simple living. She said, a silly example is the precious note she wrote on the bottom of these hideous frog planters that I now would not sell for $1 million. Look at those. Are they not awful looking? I mean, they're a frog, okay? They're so ugly. But the next slide shows the note that she wrote on the bottom from my darling husband, Dallas, 1957. Which is the year they got married, okay? So my sister has those, and she has them on her windowsill. And she said anytime anyone comments on them, She said, I love telling the story 68 years later of my mom. Many wives strive, she said, for so many things. I truly believe she was content with the simplest things in life. And the words on the bottom are proof of it. So years later, her children are still commenting on her heart of contentment. Your kids will too when they see you model that at home, when you're content, when you strive to just live a simple and content life before the Lord. Another thing, though, and I believe Clarissa touched on this, is to be a woman of prayer. Be a woman of prayer, and you have to be intentional about it, okay? When we bring our struggles to God and we truly leave them there with Him in prayer, we find peace, joy, and contentment. Even if you don't receive the answer you wanted, you find contentment when you take it to the Lord in prayer. Which brings me to my other sibling's comments about our mom. She was a wonderful woman of prayer, of a prayer warrior. This is another thing that my sister said. There's so many precious memories of her, but what stands out among so many was her unabashed commitment to prayer. Once when I was 12 years old, I was at the grocery store with her. A lady stopped to talk to Mom and ask her for prayer. Mom started praying down heaven right there in aisle 9 beside the Hostess cupcakes. I was mortified, she said. 12 years old. Years later, I appreciate her bold belief that prayer changes things. Okay? Be a woman of prayer. Again, siblings didn't know anything. So my older brother, when I asked him, and he's a man of few words, Eddie, you guys know him, some of you. He said, I remember how quiet, but yet steady and consistent she was with all of us and most everyone. And for sure, hearing her in the bedroom praying. Okay, that's a childhood memory we all have. We would come home from school and Mom would be in the bedroom praying, and she didn't pray quietly. She prayed loudly. But we all heard that and we all knew just to leave her alone. Mom's praying right now and we can't bother her. Another one of our brothers said this. He sings in a gospel group. And he said, as I currently travel with this group singing, I often speak of the fact that my mama always had a song in her heart. She always seemed to have a cloth in her hand cleaning something, but she was either humming or singing a song. I've heard Jeff Dowdy talk about his mom singing Blessed Assurance in their house. She always had a song singing something. I particularly remember this after I joined the Marine Corps. And I would come home to visit. I remember several times sitting in the old rocking chair, just enjoying hearing her putter around the house and singing whatever song was on her heart that day. Another memory I have, and I don't think I need to elaborate on this, is one of my most favorite songs that I have sang. It's called When Mama Prayed, Heaven Paid Attention. And he said, I have no idea how many things in life would have gone differently if it hadn't been for her prayers. She prayed him out of a lot of wrecks and a lot of things in the Marine Corps, and he kept her. He said this too, I've always claimed that I was partially responsible for improving her prayer life. And he was. But we loved hearing her pray. And then I wish you could meet, some of you have met Doyle. A sense of humor, because he had to put this in there too. I tell people that my dad was a pastor and my mama had a PhD, a Pentecostal hairdo. Isn't that good? Mom had a PhD. Oh, so be a woman of prayer. Memorize that verse Clarissa gave us today, Habakkuk 2:3. Wow. Wow. One day you will have tears because God has answered your prayers. Never stop praying, no matter how old your children are. Mine are grown, and I pray for them all the time. Never stop praying for your children. Be a woman of prayer. And the last thing I want to say is none of this really, you can't have a contented heart without God. All right? Without God. He is the part of the equation that we have to remember. God is the one that brings us contentment. God is the one that helps us to have a heart of contentment. So here's a math problem for you. All right? Godliness plus contentment equals, anybody know? It's in 1 Timothy 6:6. Great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So if we honor God and we're satisfied with what we have, we will really, truly have great wealth. All right? All right. I don't know how to end this, but I do want to pray for you. So everyone bow your head. If you find yourself grumbling, complaining, struggling to find contentment, would you slip your hand up and back down? Slip your hand up and back down. Amen. Amen. The Lord wants to give you a contented heart by His grace and mercy. I'm going to pray for you now. Lord God, I thank You that You gave Your life for us. And Lord, I know if anyone has a right, had a reason to complain, it was You. The way You were treated, the way You were beaten, the way You were mocked, when You had done nothing wrong. If anyone had a reason to feel mistreated, Lord, it was You. And yet, Lord, You loved us. You gave Your life for us. Lord, I pray for every person, every woman in here today that truly wants to have a contented heart, but struggling. Jesus, I pray that You will help us. Help us, Lord, as we give our struggles to You. Help us, Lord. Would You just, anytime we're tempted, Lord, to be discontent, I pray, Lord, that You would immediately let us hear Your words. Let us hear Your words that say in everything give thanks. Let us hear Your words that says godliness with contentment is great gain. Let us hear Your words that say, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Lord, would You help us? Help us, Lord, to walk a life of contentment and let it spill over into our homes, into our children. Lord, may we teach them to look to You for everything they need and desire. Lord, You fill our lives with good things. What more could we ask? So, Lord, I pray blessings over every woman, every mother today. May they feel treasured. May they feel loved. May they feel blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here comes the old paper plate. My wife was kind to me because when we went to the Varsity restaurant and she was just griping, I cussed. And I'd been a Sunday school teacher, a song leader, but I said, why would you quit griping? And I didn't use the word gripe. And so when she started telling that story, I thought, woo! Confession's good for the soul. Hey, it's on my heart. As she was speaking, the Lord put something together. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1, it says, let the barren woman sing. And I've always wondered what that meant. And then I realized it means let the barren woman find contentment where she's at. And if you will find contentment with your present situation, it allows God to bless you. And many times in the scripture, God opened up wombs. That's just something that he does. And I just felt impressed. I'll ask Denny to come on up and he'll close us out. But I wanted to pray for those that are really, Treve and I have lived through this with our oldest son. And man, did they want children. And it didn't happen the way they wanted. But they are blessed with two little girls and expecting a third one here just any day now. So God has not done it the way we thought, but he has blessed them with motherhood. Also, I really do want to encourage you on becoming a spiritual mom. You can, it's so important. The Bible says, let the older women teach the younger women. We have a way of passing our faith down and helping, being there for somebody and just be. Mothers are nurturers. Dad are irritators, but mothers are nurturers. And, would you come back up here with me? I had a great mom, but I'm going to tell you, she didn't compare to this mom. The greatest mom I ever seen in my life was this lady beside me. We have three great sons. Most of them look like her, but they act like me. Don't you feel sorry for us? Amen. I want you to pray with me. Father God, Lord, we both know what a pleasure it is to be parents. What a privilege that you have graced us with, God. And I pray for those people in this congregation right now that their desire is so strong to have children. God, I believe it's a godly desire, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that you would open up wombs, Lord, that you would enable them not only to get pregnant, but to carry the child, Lord. So we pray, Lord, just for your touch, your enablement on their bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Stand with us. Don't forget, Thursday's the Yes Group, Saturday's the Men's Breakfast, and then Sunday we have the membership class at 9, and then we have the park outreach at, what time is it? 3 o'clock next Saturday, so busy week but fulfilling week. So raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.